Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Glad each one of you could be here today. And been thinking this week about a portion of a article that I read. I didn't read the whole thing because I got discouraged with it and quit reading it. I don't know if you've ever done that, started reading something and thought, oh, this is kind of interesting, and wonder what this is all about, and you start reading, and it's like, they're too far out there, I just can't finish this, I'll just quit it. So I had one of those. The article was about an archaeological find. Y'all know what that means. Somebody was digging around and stumbled onto something that looked, we use the term prehistoric. In our culture, we use that word. And so I just never know how big of something they found. But apparently it was a piece of a bone. I took it that it was not fossilized because they say they extracted some DNA from it. And of course, DNA is the thing that our scientific world has capitalized on. We lived a long time not knowing we had such a thing. And now we know that we got DNA. And they're still trying to dissect what it all means, and God designed it and put it in there. It's just amazing. So anyway, they found a bone, and I'm not sure how big it was, because one of the statements was like bone shard. I don't know what that means to you, but to me it indicates it was a pretty small piece. But they built an entire human out of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like me finding a little piece of broken pottery and painting you a picture of what the whole China set looked like. They built in the story, or in the article, they had said it was a young woman. And said it was another species of pre-human ancestor, and they thought it was so amazing that they felt like she was a hybrid between two different species. They just didn't hardly believe that it could exist, but they felt like they had proof. And that's where I quit reading. I tell you that not to be gory or not to be tried to be scientific or anything like that, but my mind has not been dwelling on that so much as I've been thinking this week, what's a scientist of the future going to say when they dig up meat? And what are they going to say when they dig up you? Because it's only a matter of time, because they don't have any inhibitions about saying, oh, well, this was the remains of a prehistoric creature. They're going to dig one of us up and say, my, that was back. And they'll have a big number for it. That was back a long time ago, and my, look at how they lived. You can tell by the way their teeth is wore or the size of their elbow joints, or they're going to draw conclusions and they might find my big toe and tell you how tall I was. I'm just telling you that I wonder sometimes what the future generations, if time goes on, and I don't know, I'm not saying time will go on, I'm just saying If time goes on, it's only a matter of time before they exhume our remains and start drawing conclusions and start building a theory about what we look like and what we acted like and how we behaved. And they'll take a fragment of us and they'll have a face with a smile plastered on it. They do now. And I'm only certain that as technology improves, that they'll be sophisticated. They'll be able to predict or whatever that is about the past. So I wonder if they'll notice the difference between the age we live in and the age that someone like Fanny Crosby lived. That's not that long ago. Or maybe you've heard me mention Sister Jordan, that when she prayed, she used the phrase, as never before. I was blessed and I was challenged when I was, as a young man, kneeling down at the bench at a Monarch camp meeting and realizing by the expression she used in prayer, this is who this was. I didn't recognize her. Had never met her before. But when she came in and sat down beside us and she began to pray and she started using that phrase, and her teeth was bothering her, so she took them out and she really started praying then. And I thought, I know this person because my mother heard her pray when she was younger, and now she's a really old person. And so I wonder when they began to exhume me and you and them, if they'll notice differences. You know, we sing a song, something to the effect of, may those that come behind us find us faithful. And I wonder sometimes if the social pressures, you know, those folks that they dug up that bone shard, or I don't know how big a piece it was, but their article said that it was a teenage young girl. And they had, from DNA, they had built an entire, they had a face that they had painted from it. I don't know what all they used, and I'm not getting into that, but they had come up with an image that they were trying to portray. This is what they were like. And if only time will tell what those in the future will say about us. Maybe it'll be from things that they read about us, and maybe it'll be about the things they dig up. And maybe it'll be research that they do, and they will look on us and they will see trends and they will see changes, just like they say they do about the people that have lived here in the past. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not supportive of the evolution of the humanoid. Okay? I'm not supportive of that. I'm just presenting the idea this morning that the future will draw conclusions about us. The future will say, well, you know, they were the same species of Fanny Crosby and Sister Jordan, but their culture was dramatically different. And so they behaved differently. So I want to talk about some behavior this morning with the help of the Lord. Because today is Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is a time that we should honor a mother. I appreciate my mother and all of those here that have lost your mother, irregardless of how they would compare amongst one another. There's things we miss about our mother. There's qualities that we miss. Maybe our mother's disappointed us, some, maybe a whole lot. But if your mother is passed on today, I know that there's things that you miss about her. There's questions maybe you'd like to ask her, or maybe there's conversations you wish you could have had. And a mother is a term that if time continues and our society continues to go the direction that it's going, a mother is a term that's going to disappear. Mark that down somewhere. A mother is a term that's going to disappear. We already have an alternative. We have alternatives being interjected into our vocabulary and into our society. There's ideas being planted, and there's things being introduced that to replace mother. Just like, you know, I grew up understanding that AD was Latin for Anno Domini, or in the year of our Lord, or a time beginning and reckoning the years in relationship to Christ coming. And before that, it was called BC. And we counted back from what? From Christ. So many years BC before Christ. And today, that has been replaced in our textbooks that our children read with something called CE and BCE. And C doesn't stand for Christ. It stops and starts at the same point, but it's before common era, and common. We live in CE time instead of AD time. Y'all realize that? Go read some current history books, if there is such a thing. Go read some things that make reference to times in the past, whether it's our the birth of our nation or whatever, and you'll see if it's a current publication, they've replaced AD with CE. Common error. I believe it's an error, E-R-R-O-R, but they call it E-R-A, era. Okay? And we are being subjected to the idea that mother is an archaic term, and it's not something that is acceptable or advisable. We use terms today. There's a generation coming on that's going to use it like CE and BCE, and they use terms like birth person. I think it's disgusting. I think it's very very irreverent. I don't believe it's right. But this is what we're facing in our world today. And there's going to come a time that people are going to study what being a mother was. We don't have to let it go away. Just like we don't have to let other skilled trades go away or places in society. I don't believe it's God's plan, nor do I believe He approves of it, but it's the time that we live in. So I'd like to turn to Titus, the second chapter. I would like to look maybe a little closer at some of verses here. Titus chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1. He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. It's important to me to be as sound as I know how to be in doctrinal points. I want it to be understandable. I want it to be relative to our age that we live in, and I want it to be something that strengthens and fortifies our belief system. Because if it's not, we will be overwhelmed by the social pressure that's all around us. It says here in verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things shewing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine shewing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that it cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So I want what we say this morning to be sound speech and be sound doctrine. Sound means that it not only sounds right, but that it is, it's valid. You can validate it. Okay. If you know me very well, you know that I don't like these plastic sheetrock anchors. You know, where you can just pick a spot and put something on the wall and you put in this little anchor so you can put a screw in. My wife likes pictures where she wants pictures. And I tell her I can't put it there. There's nothing for me to anchor it on. It needs to be something to where if I want to chin myself on it, I can. That's the way I look at it. And I want the doctrinal points that we discuss to be something that we can chin ourselves on if we need to. So I don't like sheetrock anchors. I don't like doctrines built on air castles. But the one of the verses we read here in verse 5, it ends with, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I believe all of us here realize today that a lot of God's word is being blasphemed today. All around us. There are blasphemous positions taken politically, socially, relationship-wise. There's a lot of things, not just words that are said, not people just cursing God, but there's people that are living in manners today that are blasphemous to God's plan. So, I want it to be sound doctrine. I want it to be sound speech. I want to particularly look, there's a lot of messages that could be preached from these verses that I've read. But I want to particularly look at verse 5. So, the intent of what Paul's writing to Titus here about is that the older generation would teach the younger generation. Unfortunately, I have heard the older generation say they didn't feel like they knew how to teach. Or they didn't know how to share. And I feel like that's a great loss. And I also feel like it's a great cop-out. I'm just going to tell you like it is. If you've been down the path of life and you've seen pitfalls and you've seen errors in yourself and in others' decisions, destructive patterns that have developed, you need to cry loud. You need to share that. You need to help the younger ones, because I'm telling you, the enemy is out in full force today. So the intent here, I believe, that he's writing to Titus is that all of the younger ones would have access to the older ones' wisdom, their perception, the things that they have observed, the things that they have seen that has led other souls astray and created things that are not right. So we find in verse 4 that it's talking about the aged women, that they would teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That's some of the key elements of being a mother. And I'm telling you, we might see it in our age, in maybe not my generation, but my children, you younger couples here, you may see it in your generation to where it's commonplace in people's vocabulary and their conversation to disregard the use of the word mother and replace it with birth person or some other derivative of that. It's already being introduced, and the first time I heard it was like, what did they say? Why did they say that? It's to make room for other evil, blasphemous practices that society is engaged in. That's what it's for. And it's going to get more common unless God is able to stir up men's hearts. Unless there's a revival that I'd like to be in on. I'd like to be in on it. For to see a revival break out in our society where the power of God would convict men's hearts of their blasphemous practices. But he says here, the older ones should teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. These are two monumental elements of motherhood. It's not taught very much. It's not. There's always a dividing of obligations. It's not taught for commitment. I'm not saying that you younger ones here haven't had good instruction. I'm talking about the world at large. It's not taught that you should love your husband, that you should love your children unconditionally, that you should put your whole heart into that. It's not taught. It's taught that, well, he needs to do his share, and they need to do their part. And, of course, she needs to bring home an income, too. How else are you going to survive? That's what's taught. That's the world we live in. But I want us to look at verse 5. It says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. So, we live in an age that defines equality as being the same. You realize that? Equality means the same. They never talk about equally important. They talk about exactly the same. They never talk about, If you came to my place of work, I don't want to be what I'm fixing to say. I don't want it to be distorted in any manner. But we have things that I deal with all the time. I've been fascinated with it since I was so small that my mother thought I would swallow these things. All right? You know, you don't give little pieces to small children because what do they do? They put them in their mouth and they might swallow them. And when I was a little boy, about, it would have been about 1970 or 71, I was about 4 or 5, maybe a little older. Might have been younger than that. It might have been in the late, I was somewhere between 3 and 5. I wanted an Erector set. You know what that is? Little tiny nuts and bolts. And my uncle, that was about 10 years older than me, had one that he wanted to get rid of. And it's the first time I remember really getting my feelings hurt at my parents, because I wanted it and they didn't think I needed it. They thought I might swallow those things. And I got my feelings hurt at my parents. But those little pieces in there, we call them nuts and we call them bolts. They are of equal importance, but they are not the same. If you don't have one of each, whatever you're trying to build with an Erector set won't happen. If you have all nuts or if you have all bolts. One of the things I do if I'm working on something I'm unfamiliar with is I sort the nuts and the bolts. I sort them by length. I sort them by color. I sort them by the shape of the head and the size of the head. I sort them out by thread pitch. And if I've got 9 of something, I'm looking for something that has 9 holes to put them in. All right? That's when I'm working on something. I didn't take it apart. You know, the Lord did not make us equal as in same. You understand? He made us equal in importance. A home, which is another archaic term, by the way, cannot be a home without a mother and a father. There's a lot of one-legged homes out there, and it's blasphemous to God's cause. I'll just say it like that. It's not what God intended. It's not what God plans. There's people that come from those environments and they survive and sometimes excel. And I believe the Lord will be real to every individual, but that's not my message. My message this morning is that we realize that as mothers and fathers, which I believe is still valid terminology, we are not the same, but we are of equal importance. And the circumstances that would create an environment for children to be nurtured in the things of God, it just does not function the way it ought to if they're both not there. So the world that we live in says that equal is the same. You want to be an electrician and you happen to be a young lady, by all means, learn how to climb the pole and be a lineman. You excel and you learn how to compete. And they're finding out that now that they can define what kind of gender they are, they can find out that it's really not fair for men to pretend to be women and compete in the physical realm. I mean, duh. We could have told them that without a whole lot cheaper than the way they went. But they've spent a lot of money to find out that it's really not fair. And there's a lot of people in an uproar about that. It's because it's blasphemous to God's cause. It's not the way God intended for it to be. So what are they going to find when they dig me up? They're going to draw some conclusions. Well, this fella, you can just tell by, just look at the way those knuckles are, or what, I don't know what they're going to say. They're going to draw some conclusions. But what are they going to find out about my position in society? He was one of those people that embraced all of those acronyms. Or he wasn't. Or she wasn't. This verse says, verse 5 said, keepers at home. Do you know that that's under attack from all sides? It's biblical. And it'll work. And when we try to be equal by doing something different than that, it's going to cause a problem. We're going to be more susceptible to embracing the rejection of the term mother and embracing the term birth person. It just sets us up for that. It says to be discreet, chaste, in verse 5. Did you know that would fix the Me Too generation? To be chaste and discreet would fix that. You know that everything today is promoted with a three-letter word. If y'all have any trouble figuring what that is, I'll tell you later. But everything in our society today is promoted with a three-letter word. Women want the three-letter word appeal desperately. And they'll do anything to get it. But when they get it, and they're taken advantage of, they cry abuse. You know what the fix is? To be discreet and chaste. Anything other than that is abomination. Anything other than that is blasphemous to God's plan. And the more we pursue that three-letter word, the more we'll be willing to embrace the concept of birth person, and the sooner we'll be willing to say, nobody's really a mother anymore. Nobody is really a father anymore. We just have children. And we raise children because we raise them intellectually now. We're getting there. They tried it in the past and it didn't work out so well. The Nazis tried it. Our society is getting there to where they want to try it again. They want to do it without homes. They want to do it with social services. Oh, there's a few little isolated people, places out there where people recognize the benefit of a quality home environment, but not very good. It's not very prevalent. It's getting thin. I'll read you a scripture, Proverbs 6. We're talking about being chaste and discreet. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 24. It says, to keep thee from the evil woman. That's a father's commandment. That's his intent. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty. You know, that three-letter word thing hasn't just come along in our generation. It's been around a long time. Proverbs says here, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. That's called flirting. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You know, that's what's going on today. They're hunting because they're not discreet and they're not chaste. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Tell me how that works. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Can we entertain an appetite for the three-letter word like our society does and not have damage? The answer to that is no. We can't pursue the trends and appetites that the world puts out there on the pedestal as being the right thing for a young woman, and old women too, to have this appeal. See, they disregard the plan of God to be a mother. You know, I sent two sisters a text this morning that said, "Happy Mother's Day." They're not my mother, biologically. But I look to them as mothers in Israel. You know how thin that is? I'm not throwing stones this morning. I just want us to realize. In our populace across the nation, you know how many mothers in Israel there is? You know, I think if they dug us up, our generation, and they dug up that other generation I was talking about that lived 50 years ago, 100 years ago, I think they'd find more mothers in Israel 100 years ago than they do now. The people that ought to be developing into mothers in Israel are still concerned about that three-letter word appeal. They're still trying to hold on to something or achieve something. We can't take fire in our bosom and not get burned. We can't mess with the devil's merchandise and not lose something that's really valuable, and it's called a mother. A mother. I don't want us to ever lose the value that we have for a mother. You know, we can be a mother in Israel without being a biological mother. We can be a mother in Israel. We can be able to give counsel and encourage and strengthen the biological mothers in spiritual things, in temporal things. We can be an example whether we're a biological mother or not. That other phrase that's in that verse in Titus, it says, obedient to their own husbands. You know, our society is so far away from that that they would say they don't believe it's ever written down anywhere. And when you'd show it to them in the Bible, they would be incredulous. They just couldn't hardly wrap their mind around that somebody would actually write that down. I'm telling you, in the fear of the Lord today, I know it's a little one-sided this morning, but if we decide that that doesn't work for me, it's blasphemous. It's not pleasing to the Lord. Instead, our society has promoted women as leaders with the brains, and that men are only capable of following. And to my calculations, it's happened, been going on for at least 75 years, maybe longer. But it's actively been promoted for around 75 years. It started out probably somebody trying to be funny or just try to make someone feel good. But it's been promoted so long that now the generation coming on considers it fact. I would be startled if you could go survey a middle school student today and ask them if they feel like a wife ought to be in subjection to her husband, they would probably look at you and their mouth would drop open like you just fell out of a tree somewheres. They wouldn't have any clue where you was coming from. You could ask boys or girls that. And I don't think you would get, it's you see where society is? It's accepted as a fact, and it's not fact. In fact, the fact is that it's blasphemous to accept anything other than that. God's plan for the home, God's plan for mankind has been blasphemed in about every possible way than it possibly can be. So I want to challenge us today. I want to leave us with this. I want to encourage us. Because I'm not here this morning to just preach that the future is all dark and gloomy. Because there's rays of sunshine. We have examples of young people today that are really endeavoring to honor God with their life. And I want you to know, I really appreciate that. I really do. And I see you endeavoring to follow God's plan. And I see you endeavoring to go against the grain of the world that says, equal means same. I see you going against the pressure of society of we got to have more money, so mama's got to go to work. Oh, the birth person has got to go to work. You see how it gets so distorted? I want you to know I appreciate it so much. And I want to encourage you not to pass it on. There's another generation coming on. Help them to see the beauty. The scripture talks about the beauty of holiness. Help them to see the beauty of the home, of the marriage. Because do you know how hard it is for someone that believes that home is not important and fatherhood is not important and being a mother is an archaic term, and it's really a birth person now and a baby daddy and all that stuff that makes my head spin. You know how hard it is to get that person to get a vision of the church? You don't have a place to start. You don't have a leg to stand on. It's hard for them to grasp that there's care and compassion anywhere in the world. There's not that They don't have that memory of being nurtured or being, you know. I remember a time when my brother and I were, you know, we were growing up, and there was a time that one of us was sick, and we got past, you know, we're big and tough and all this, but we were really sick, and our mother was being compassionate to us and caring for us and whatever she was doing to make us feel as comfortable as possible. And the one that was sick said, Mama, I wish you could just rock me. And they were like 11 years old. Can you imagine how big 11-year-old Adam's boy was? It's almost too much for the chair, but you know, my mama done the best she could to rock them at that time. You know, there's people out there that they wouldn't even think about asking their, whatever they call them, to rock them when they were not feeling good. Don't lose that. Don't lose that. You want an environment where your teenager wants you to hug them, where your teenager wants you to come and wants to come in and sit on mama's lap and hear her say, I love you. I'm proud of you. We don't want to lose that. I want you young mothers to be encouraged to be a mother and not strive for a three-letter word identity. I'm not saying be as ugly as you can. That's not what I'm talking about. But don't strive for this thing the world's putting out there. Don't strive for something that is going to leave you holding the bag. We want to preserve the plan that God... You know, people have respect. They inherently respect mothers today, even when they don't know that they should. May the Lord help us today. I want you to be encouraged. I hope the Lord can take our little thoughts today and somehow blend them to strengthen you and encourage you. I want the Lord to have the honor and the glory in our lives. I want us to be a beacon to the world. You know, lighthouses, because of GPS and everything else, lighthouses on the coastline is pretty well, they just keep them for museums anymore, really. I want us to be a lighthouse. Our world is going to make a lot. They're making shipwreck left and right, and they need lighthouses. They need somebody that's an example, that's shining. They need somebody that when they're in trouble and they're sick and they feel like they're going to die, they need an aunt or somebody to call. So I want to encourage you to be a mother today. You pray for me.